A teachable moment in how to wriggle out of a legal contract if you're the richest person on earth. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. Stock in Twitter is down 6.8% this morning now that Tesla and SpaceX boss Elon Musk says he does not want to buy the short message and advertising platform after all, not for $44 billion, not for a penny. Musk says it's that he can't tell how many Twitter accounts are humans and which are robots, that is to say fake accounts, but Musk had agreed to pay a $1 billion breakup fee if this deal didn't happen. Joining us is Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Good morning to you.
Hello, David.
You expect Musk will try to wiggle out of this $1 billion breakup fee?
Yeah, I don't think he really wants to pay the $1 billion, although the guy can afford it. But he's going to use his money up to $1 billion and all of his kind of Twitter followers to try to get out of a deal that is pretty much an ironclad deal, at least on paper.
Well, I mean, you specialize, among other things, in contract law. He agreed to a contract. For those of us not the richest man in the world or even close, we can't even terminate our cell phone contracts earlier without paying a breakup fee. How is he going to do this?
Well, you know, the law works a little differently for him than it does for me and for you, although not on paper. I mean, we're not going to spend a couple of million dollars or tens of millions of dollars to litigate with our phone company or our cable company or our landlord to get out of a lease. But he can do it, and he probably will do it. So even though he signed an agreement which is ironclad even by merger standards, I mean, it's a standout ironclad contract, it doesn't matter if you're Elon Musk.
So what do you expect his strategy would be to cast a unfavorable light on Twitter to the point that it hurts Twitter, and they're like, all right, here's some money to go away?
I think that's right. I think Musk is going to have a kind of a two-pronged strategy. One, to just harass them in court. You know, the court process is an ugly, long, expensive process, and I think he's just going to ask for all kinds of documents that will embarrass them. And then I think he's going to use, get this, his Twitter platform to harass them and embarrass them and kind of coerce them into settling.
Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, also teaches at the law school there. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
Markets. Dow futures are down 0.4%. S&P futures are down 0.5%. NASDAQ futures down 0.7% now. The 10-year interest rate is above 3%, but down slightly this morning, 3.06. Crude oil is down more than 2%, below $103 a barrel. The persistently strong jobs report for June showed hiring was still ticking along across the board, especially in healthcare. Plus, factory jobs rose by 29,000 in June, meaning manufacturing employment is back to its pre-pandemic level. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
The kind of manufacturers we're talking about include big semiconductor companies, automakers like Ford and GM. Many of these manufacturers have announced plans to build factories in the U.S. That means manufacturing jobs and other support roles, like software engineers, given how much technology goes into the goods we make. Now, demand for manufactured goods has started to ease up a bit, in part because consumers have been spending less on goods and more on things like traveling and going out to eat. But experts I've spoken with say manufacturers still have a big backlog of orders to get through. That's because of all the over-ordering that happened earlier in the pandemic. That said, many manufacturers are also shedding jobs almost as fast as they're filling them, and that could create production issues down the line. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
When Moscow opted to start a war in Ukraine, it led to Europe canceling the opening of a second direct natural gas pipeline from Russia to the West. That was Nord Stream 2, and that project is no more. But there was still Nord Stream 1 already in use, and currently Germany's main source of gas for heating and for its factories. Every year in the summer, number one gets shut down for maintenance. But even this year, with gas prices running so high, yes, the Russian operator says, it's still turning off the gas July the 21st to test valves and other mechanical and software systems. Already, Russia's Gazprom had reduced the gas by 60% in that line, which Germany sees as a tactical, not technical or financial move. In the early days of the pandemic, many turned to video games, with in-person socializing discouraged. This year, sales of games and consoles are set to decline, according to research from an outfit called Ampere Analysis. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has that.
Joost van Drooyen at NYU says the pandemic pushed video games to a more mainstream way of entertaining ourselves and connecting with other people.
Even myself, I have a 9-year-old. At the start of the pandemic, I could imagine few things more dystopian than my child having a birthday party in something like Roblox.
Roblox, that's an online platform where people can get together to play games. Now he's fully on board. But he says the industry's massive growth during the pandemic just wasn't sustainable.
As people start to go out again, you know, walk away from their consoles.
And Ala Valente, an analyst with Forrester, says inflation is causing people to rethink their discretionary spending. She says there's a silver lining here for gamers. The dip in demand could ease some of the supply chain challenges the industry has been facing.
At some point, there will be a better balance between supply and demand.
And come time for holiday shopping, she says the latest gaming consoles won't be quite so difficult to track down. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Even though the jobs report showed we were not in recession in the spring after all, this is a new quarter and things can turn on a dime. Listen later today for Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl on many public radio stations or streaming from marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.